All right, day 37. Congratulations. Woo. We are officially in the New Testament.
New Testament.
And I actually want to start today by just kind of setting us up a little bit for the New Testament, because the end of the Old Testament marks the beginning of a period known as the 400 years of silence. So during that time, God doesn't send prophets. There aren't any written records of him engaging with people. But here's what we do know. He's still working, mm-hmm. Which is always a good reminder. The Jews are home in Israel after being driven out by the Babylonian Empire. So, start us out.
There you go. So, all right. So, Matthew. So, the first of the Gospels. So kind of giving an overview of Matthew, because as you read the Gospels, each one reads a little different. They focus on different things because they have different audiences that they're reaching mm-hmm. out to. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like to understand the books a little bit better, realize that history tells us that this was written anywhere between 55 to 65 AD. So we're talking, 35, 40 years after the death of Jesus or sometime around in there. Mm-hmm. And Matthew, because he is a Jew, he is writing to a Jewish audience. And that's mm-hmm. important to understand, because that is why Matthew includes the yes. stuff he includes.
Yeah. And another reminder, just the New Testament in general, I think, to when we read it, the authors were writing to people that that knew the Old Testament. Yeah. And so that's always a yep. really important thing. Yep. So
that's why don't skip over chapter one really fast of Matthew, yes. right? Because you see this and you're just like, oh, there's all those names and yeah. I'm over the names. But
so
what,
beautiful though.
It is, because what Matthew is doing is he's telling the Jewish people Jesus is the Messiah, and we can trace this back all the way to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like we can prove that he comes from Abraham. Mm-hmm. So the promises to Abraham, the promises to David, yeah. he's in the line of David.
We see Gentiles ushered into the genealogy.
Yep,
women.
We see mm-hmm. by name in mm-hmm. the sense of, Rahab's included in this. Yeah. Even David's sin of, this is, Bathsheba, and this is Uriah's wife,
yeah.
So it's like there's an inclusion of this horrible sin committed yep. by David,
oh, David
included in this. So that is where Matthew's coming from, is he's from the beginning telling mm-hmm. the Jews, I'm going to prove to you that Jesus is the Messiah mm-hmm. through this book. And the other thing that's cool about Matthew that we don't really take into account is we have to remember Matthew was also a tax collector. So Matthew actually had a history of, he recorded things. He was probably very intellectual in detail.
Mm-hmm.
So this
have
is
you watched
why
The Chosen?
I have not.
Oh my yet. Gosh, you have to watch it. I think about it in the lens of these characters now on that show.
Well, then I do need to, but we just, unfortunately. Because you're like the eighth person to tell me that we
need
to watch
it. It's so good. Usually those kinds of things are
yeah.
poorly done, but yeah. I think they've been really good.
Well, good. So there's the shout out to The Chosen, anybody that hasn't watched it. But the thing about Matthew to remember is, one commentary I read a long time ago said he was probably a man that learned how to do shorthand writing. Mm-hmm. Like he had a way to record things fast.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we see a lot more detail, like especially when we get in the Sermon on the Mount. So mm-hmm. 5 through 7 of our reading is the Sermon on the Mount, and it's very detailed.
Yeah.
Well, Matthew was probably really good at taking notes
yeah.
and being able to record word for
they
word.
All of the Gospels, I feel like, are written with a different lens,
yes.
kind of,
yes.
depending on the author.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's why if anybody doesn't have that really strong Old Testament background, Matthew mm-hmm. might seem a little at times like, why is he including this, or why
sure.
is this in here? Well, again, that's why. He's tying it back
mm-hmm.
to the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. So this, again, he starts.
So who's in control now? Is it Persia?
No, this is Rome.
This is Rome.
This
now.
Is Rome.
Okay.
So during this, so that was, during the 400 years, we see mm-hmm. Rome comes into power. So Rome is in control of Israel and that area.
Mm-hmm.
And they are oppressed still. This is why you see right off the bat, birth of Jesus. There's this census being done, counting mm-hmm. of the people. And so that's where it starts. Matthew 1 and 2, we have the birth of Christ recorded. Some of the differences is we have the wise men included
mm-hmm.
in this,
mm-hmm.
Because I think that's that challenge to the Jews also. Like, he's not just for us. The outsiders
yeah.
are part of this.
Yeah.
They are worshiping him
yeah.
also. And then the big chunk of this is the Sermon on the Mount, which is it's the greatest sermon that's ever been recorded.
I'm so excited for that sermon series.
Yeah, it's coming. So, the Sermon on the Mount, there's a lot to it, and we don't need to go into a lot of detail, but just realize that there's some different ideas with the Sermon on the Mount. Some people say, well, that's an ideal that we're supposed to strive for, but it's not possible. I've heard some people say that. Here's the thing. Jesus is laying out, like, this is what I'm going to do in your life if you let me. That's why it ends with this, you know, wise men build their lives on my words and on my teachings. Foolish do not. So anyone that reads the Sermon on the Mount and doesn't walk away going, oh, I can do better.
Yep.
You're not reading it right. But at the same time, you have to remember, it's not you that does better. It's Jesus through you, the Spirit of God through you. So,
And they're not checklists.
These aren't checklists.
Things to be like, okay, yep, I did that. I did that. Overall, like, he's telling us he wants our hearts.
Yep.
And I feel like that's kind of been a theme that we even saw when we were moving through all the prophets too.
And so there should be excitement when we read the Sermon on the Mount. Because it's Jesus telling us there's more than what we're used to. He's like, don't be religious. There's more. And I will just say this, you know, when we start the Sermon on the Mount series, the entire Sermon on the Mount only works if we pay attention to the very first line. And the very first line is that blessed are the poor in spirit. Here's the thing. Any of us that struggle with our Christianity, our faith, if we're trying to do it under our own strength and abilities and talents and worth and value of our own eyes and self-righteousness, it all falls apart.
Yep.
Jesus says from the beginning, when we humble ourselves and understand we are, it's not just that we're limited. We have nothing to bring to the table to make this work. And once we accept that, we're emptied so that he can fill us and live out the rest of it. So just that encouragement as you read that section is it's through Jesus. So